Hello, you're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. I'm Scott. I'm here talking about all things high school English, how to make our life more fun, exciting, unpredictable, easier. And so that's actually specifically what we're going to kind of talk about today, is making things more fun and opening up the what we do specifically, which is usually in the interpretation of literature, to include many other things. And I'm sort of talking about this thing that I do at the end of the year. And it's something my favorite time is the last couple of weeks of school, because I really just sit back and let my kids present on various things, and I make it as open as possible for them. So calling this podcast The Creative Classroom. If you want to know more about me, you can go to theteachersworkshop.com. I offer online professional development for high school English teachers. I also have a Teachers Pay Teachers store and a blog, which is kind of what you're listening to here, is just me talking about what I write about on the website. So that's theteachersworkshop.com. All right. So yeah, I start the school year. Since we're talking about the end of the school year, I do this kind of as a tie-in for the beginning of the school year. And the beginning of the school year, I talk about, actually I have three or four pages of quotes that are specifically about the magic of literature. Basically how it's just wonderful world-creating, world-making thing, where we conjure up this space and time and imagination to understand our space and time right now, and the relevance of literature, and actually bring a rock into class. Talk about how everybody in the room can see the rock differently and express their understanding of it differently. Some people, I'll have them write about it, and then I'll have them sort of describe it out loud. So we talk about symbolism and the power of symbols, and how is symbolism a part of our everyday lives, and how do we think symbolically and think deeply about everything that is around us, and how do words try to capture these sort of simple single realities, and how is conversation and the exchange of ideas about a single simple reality this exciting and wonderful process, this philosophical thing where we can kind of get to the bottom of the essence of our existence. And so that's, it's kind of heavy, but that's where I start. And I start with, it's heavy, but it's also a rock. But I think part of the conversation after we talk about this rock is how language is just everywhere and all around us at all times, no matter where we go or what we do. There's even the voice in our head that follows us around all the time, giving us words, unconsciously or consciously, tying what we see with our eyes to something that we that has letters, right? Something that eventually makes sense, even if it's fragmented or nonsensical. It's something that helps us structure and organize it in a way that helps us figure out how to behave. But words and language are not obviously just the words and language that we have inside our own heads. It's in this is kind of meta. It's in podcasts, YouTube videos, of course, have words, songs, movies, TikToks, highly image-heavy, we'll say, but also have words and captions, words, sort of two layers of captions sometimes, where you're seeing words in an actual caption where the person is speaking and you're seeing it, but also because it's a graphic on the image, and then also because it's a subtext or whatever. It's how social media works. There's kind of different layers of text everywhere we look. Words are in prayers, in plays, memes, or they also contain words, conversations, love letters, stories, social media posts, text messages. And even though all these are kind of short, they still contain words. And if you read long enough text messages, it's a lot of words. Inventions are explanations for our ideas, discoveries, scientific discoveries. We have to use our words to talk about those and even explain them to, if you're a doctor, of course, explaining them to the general public, and whether it be vaccines or some medicine they have to take. People like to understand, in layman's terms, what's going on, what the side effects are and all those different things. Proposals for business ideas, presentations like TED Talks and Shark Tank, you know, from how to revolutionize the world and change everything. In the case of a TED Talk, usually that's how they, at least that's how they feel to me when I watch them. I'm like, oh my gosh, let's go have the revolution. I'm in every single time I watch one. Shark Tank, similar. It's just some tiny little product that you're probably never going to use, but it feels like, oh my gosh, this could change everything and make people's lives so easier. That's how they kind of sell it, right? Is this going to be this mind-boggling thing that I can't believe we didn't have this before? But that's all. It's all words. The words, help us figure out that revolution, whatever it is. Even if it's just a little sponge, or my favorite's the guitar buddy. It teaches you to learn guitar. I never bought it. I didn't learn to play guitar, but again, when I watched, I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to learn how to play guitar. The news, of course, has words, politics, sports, quotes. We see quotes all the time everywhere around us, in advertisements and social media. Interviews, obviously that's advertisements. Charts and graphs contain words that we have to decipher and analyze. Clothes, signs, paintings have words. You think about how much time we are spending with words. I feel a little crazy talking about this, but it is amazing when you think about there's time that we spend listening to music, or just the sound of a car because there's no radio on, those gaps in conversation where no one's talking. There's, of course, all this silence in our lives, too. But especially because of our phones, we really are, maybe that's what's so addictive about them, is that we like reading, even if it's little slices of things. But again, we're seeing words in all kinds of different forms, whether it be a video or an image and all these things I just went over. We love words. We have a yearning to and a longing to encounter words, maybe it's because of these silent spaces over the course of our day where we, I think I've heard a lot about young mothers spending time with their children when they're home from work, talk about this. It's like, I want to talk to a human being, like an adult, and just have a regular adult conversation. So that's interesting too, is that when, especially if you have, like, say, one child and they're just sleeping all day, or they're not able to converse with you, that's, it can be frustrating. Especially I have a toddler, and his lack of words, this is just so frustrating. Just tell me what you want. I wish you had the word for that thing that you're screaming about. If you just could tell me what it is, then we'd get along better. But that's right. You can kind of carry that forth all the way through to adulthood, where we get frustrated and argue with people. Violence, there's so much violence going on right now because somehow our conversations are incomplete or fall short or imperfect, or and our the words that we exchange to try to figure out and solve problems they're not as developed as they could be. And so that's sort of where I start the year. It's like, hey, let's really think about this. So we're gonna study literature and short stories and poems, but we're also gonna think about all of the words and tone and how people say things and the emotion behind the words, and how do we think of words differently when we see with somebody's body language and when we're right in front of them as opposed to watching them on TV. So our sort of reactions to words, depend a lot on our experience, our visual experience, or actual experience with those words. It's interesting, right? We transform the informal thoughts and ideas of consciousness into formal public exchange, what we call communication. When we communicate in a way, we inspire. We learn new information. We come to understand a point of view we never considered before. We learn about a place we've never been. It's truly the best word for it. It's transformative. But inspiration can come from many places, and words have their limits. To bring my ear full circle, so that's where I start is that way. But in the end, I like to have conversations kind of about anything and everything, even the anything that communicates something, anything that makes us feel something. That includes the wordless world too, the world without words. It's interesting to think about how much time we spend in that world. So my students present on anything that inspires them or gives them hope. This year I'm doing something called the Hope Project. So that's our sort of focus for this year's hope. And so this could be, like when I say anything, it could be skateboarding. They could play an instrument in class. They could sing in class. They could talk about a painting that they encountered, a museum that they went to, a photograph or some image that they have that they want to talk about. They could talk about making clothes or playing a sport. This is interesting, right? Cooking food. These are things that when we talk about literature, of course, sometimes depending on what we're talking about, if the conversation, or even if we're talking nonfiction, something like that, sports always comes up. Food somehow always comes up. You know, even in literature, it comes up. But, you know, generally speaking, it's not something that we were just talking about. Character development and ideas, these different philosophies, behaviors, you know, and all the different things of literature. And so we kind of get away from these everyday things that we encounter. But these creative arts are not different from the creative world of literature. They're actually exactly the same thing. It's an attempt to express that's important. It's the idea that this single thing, like a sport or food, can generate conversation and stories about living and passion. Think about it. When you eat something, you don't just eat it. Right? You're talking about it. You know, how did you make this? Who taught you that? When did you first have this? And oh, I didn't, right? Or even about a cookie. There's so many different ways of making a cookie. So we have an exchange. We talk about, and we find words to describe what that thing tastes like, what it looks like, the texture. We laugh about it, right? There's sort of different things we talk with, candy or cotton candy and funnel cake. I mean, the ridiculous foods we eat. That's just food, right? But paintings and music and just the stuff of everyday life also is whatever the essence of creativity is. You're taking nothing, and that's what creating is. You create something. You have something beautiful out of nothing. And so that's the challenge, is that there was nothing before, and now there is something, and it's French fries. Right? Imagine the first time we discovered that, or the first time we discovered broccoli. It was wonderful. Like, wow, grapes, you know? What a wonderful thing to experience for the first time. So that's true with really anything in life. If it's shoes or a chair or furniture or a building, some mind took a blank space and created something out of it. And so that's what literature does, but I think we need to make a ton of our kids probably come into our classes like loving science, and they think, ugh, literature, I'm going to be a computer programmer. Why do I need to be in this class? So I think that I'm not sure if this happens throughout, but I'm hoping that it happens throughout the year as much as it does right now, as they're presenting on whatever they're passionate about. I had one kid, I remember, present on like airports. He just like loves the layout and the structure of airports and what they look like and how they try to capture the feel of the city that they're in, the state that they're in. So it's interesting because I don't go there often enough during the year. You know, you get into these routines. Of course, there's different writing assignments where this stuff comes out. You know, I just assigned a podcast and I got to hear about Selling Sunset. I was just making this joke in class that, hey, you really analyzed that this is a Netflix series about selling, you know, gorgeous people selling houses, basically selling gorgeous houses. But the way they interpreted it was very much like how we would, you know, interpret and analyze novels, of course, in a more casual and fun way. But that's the reason we study novels, is that so that we can have that ability to comprehend anything, right? If we can comprehend a novel, you can understand anything from your reality, whether it be a Netflix series or, again, a house. And again, even scientists will I think, once they understand this connection between creation and literature and this world that you make, and this even a businessman is going to, you know, say, oh, I'm just going to be working for a business, and what do I care about any of this? The idea of selling an idea, proposing, those are all conversations you want to have at the beginning and, of course, throughout, but also at the end of the year. Like, hey, remember where we started? This is about words and language, and that's what, you know, and literature is just the craft of these ideas in a deliberate and logical way that is beautiful and wonderful and has a point, you know, among other things. But yeah, still that's sort of what we're sort of ending on, this note of, hey, remember we talked about a rock, now we're gonna talk about airports and solar roadways. Somebody presented on solar roadways 1 year, but you know, that idea doesn't just come from somebody who doesn't sort of appreciate creativity and a writer conjures up this entire space with road names, and you know, characters have different clothes on, and you know, they have a way of speaking, and you got to think about all, you have to create all that. It's incredible when you think about how much creativity goes into a novel, but also into something like, hey, why don't we put solar panels on a road? Or whatever, you know, if it's beyond, somebody presented on Beyonce's Lemonade 1 year, right? It was like, whoa, this is like an explosion of creativity. It's amazing. And so making those connections are always really important to not show that we're not here to just read stuffy Jane Austen and, you know, really complex Virginia Woolf and James Joyce, right? We're, you know, to the classics of literature. Of course, we're going to do that. But we're also going to dabble in this realm of everything that is in our immediate surroundings. And that could be somebody who's awesome at playing tennis, right? When a painter or athlete practices their form, they craft a world of their own making. They imagine a style and a space that is familiar and wonderful. They pay homage to their ancestors and carve a path that could, like all great art, last forever. When we witness someone master any skill or overcome any obstacle, it makes us believe in greatness, in possibility, in prosperity, and in the benefits of competition and collaboration. I think of a thing that came to my head there with talking about overcoming any obstacles. Nick Foles helped the Eagles, as a backup quarterback, that helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. And that, one of my friends was talking about how he watched that game like 50 times just because it was just so, I mean, knowing the ending, I don't think you watch that game 50 times if the Eagles lose, if you're the team you're rooting for loses. But the idea that, like, a novel is something, like, we want kids to appreciate a novel. Like, it's something they can read over and over and over again. We teach some of the same novels, like Hamlet, right, over and over and over again. And it just doesn't lose its amazingness. It doesn't lose its brilliance. It's just always surprising and how things just worked out. The words just came together in this really sort of witty, funny, but also dark and really troubling way. That the world that we live in is really, it's disappointing. People abuse their power and are they're opportunists, and they do really sick and gross things. But we can create art out of something, right? Everything about Hamlet is just brilliant, right? Because it's about art and how art can make us a more democratic society. When you look at Nick Foles, it was just a great narrative. The way that the whole season for the Eagles unfolded, and he had played for us before for a couple of years, and he was like a little inconsistent, and people would argue about whether he should stay or go, like you do with any quarterback. I feel like every quarterback goes through those conversations. But to return in a way where he was the backup, and then here's your opportunity. We have a team that's Super Bowl bound, by the way. You know, can you do it? It was just, you can't make this stuff up. And so that's that belief. When we read a novel, the same thing happens. When we read a poem, we want to believe in the beautiful sort of symmetry of things, that they work out in this way that's just unbelievable, and spontaneous, and just kind of gutsy, and right, where people make mistakes, but then they recover from them, and they get really they're energetic and excited about doing the right thing and making the right choice and having that happy ending, right? Think about that. You know, that season for the Eagles fans was such a happy ending. We sort of all came together and celebrated this one thing. And novels try to get us to do the same thing, where it just kind of, as the clock runs out on the game, the novel comes to this end where the words just kind of float there and leave you and say, you just say goodbye, you know? And so it's just this wonderful space. And I think about how many athletes kind of come into classes like, I'm too cool for this. I'm Jack, you know? But I think that's, yeah, you can, like, I want you to talk about your favorite athlete in my class, like, because it's cool. And there's a cool narrative. And think about it, the Eagles, that's like a metaphor. They're not actual Eagles, right? They're just like these imaginary, like we call them birds, like a team mascot is kind of a metaphor. It's all imagination. It's all creativity. And it's all style is something that athletes are all about. Like the style of play, right? And if you get like a Ryan Howard was this Phillies baseball player, and I feel like people found out his style of hitting, and you know, his first few years he was great, and then he had to kind of rise up to that sort of challenge of like them knowing how he hit, or you know, the times where he would swing. And it's just such a complicated thing when you think about it, you know, being great in a sport, because once people learn how you do what you do that makes you great, then they know they you know, it becomes predictable, and then you have to kind of innovate a little bit more. And yeah, it's amazing. And so writers are sort of dealing with these same things. Not that we always have to make the connection to writing, but you know, it's all there for us to make school fun, for lack of a better way of putting it. I mean, that's what this is all about. We should just want kids to be great storytellers, and that includes science and politics and history and food and sports, right? When we ask them to write creatively, say we're having them write a novel or long couple of short stories every, you know, maybe they sit and write creatively once a week in a journal. I was thinking having this idea. Maybe I'll talk about that next week. So stay tuned for that next week. Because I think that's, because I did book clubs this year, and now I'm like, instead of having them read, in addition to what they're reading in class, I could have them just write. So anyway, so that's, I'm digressing. So to go back to where I started, the rock, right, the object that you put in the room at the beginning of the year is just as important, you know, whatever it is, the painting, the Nick Foles, you know, trick play that helps you win the Super Bowl, whatever it is. It's just as important as the thoughts and feelings it inspires. The artwork on the wall is just as important as the conversations about it, right? The artwork is right. It's not one's not more important than the other, but think about it. The two people that come up and encounter a piece of artwork on a wall, they're gonna have some kind of exchange, and that's really, really important. Is like what conversations are coming out, and how many conversations, and are these conversations gonna happen year after year after year, where people are still thinking about like what is it about this piece of art that is still relevant to my life, you know, 100, 200, 300 years later. School doesn't need to be something where students think, yeah, I'm good at this, I'm not good at that, right? I'm a football player, I'm not a novel reader, or whatever it is. Of course, students can have favorite classes or excel in some areas more than others. That's natural. That's going to happen. But they should also see the big picture, where science, technology, current events, music, poetry, politics, design, and athletics all serve the same function as symbols of hope, beauty, and progress. Thanks for listening.